Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, we are looking at salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. A teaching I believe that every Bible student, not Bible student, every Christian should know first. I mean, if there's nothing you know, again, salvation is the basic. Like Peter said, when people ask of the hope that you have in Christ, 1 Peter 3:15, you must be able to give every man an answer. Hallelujah. You know, people, when you ask them questions in the Bible, they start telling you, I'm not a pastor. Why are you asking me? But you are not a coach when you start telling footballers how to play. Say, who plays like that? If you give Ronaldo, Ronaldo will give Rivaldo. You know Rivaldo? Ronaldo will give Rivaldo. One boy was telling me, he was saying, that Thierry Henry, that he's overrated. He said Drogba was a better player. Not you. I can't call you boy. And I asked, how old are you? You're 17. You did not even see Henry on the pitch in your life. Right? I don't think so. 17 will be 2005. He was retiring already. He retired 2007. Okay. He came back to Arsenal 2012. Played the last Leeds game. You know, but you're 17. What do you know about Henry? Hey, man. But, you know, he's not a coach, but he's saying, if you play it like this and you come like, you know, you'll have scored. If you put those kind of people on the pitch. I always laugh at those analysts that after the football game that they'll be doing like this. They'll not be moving, if he comes here, this player shifts here. Is it, when you are playing, you know, did the player shift here? Amen. You are not an hairdresser. Yet you should have just picked it here so that your edges. You say, pastor, you know edges. Yeah, very well. And color 37. Yeah. There are things we know. 37, lush. You know. All these things. Yeah. It's by the grace of God. Yet not I. Alright, you know? So you know a lot of things. Just that you don't know the Bible. So your issue is not knowledge. Your issue is that you have not invested enough time to know God's word. We'd rather go to church and just, you know, sing all day and then watch things that entertain us. That's not what the church is for. The church is a place where you come to learn God's word. And so we started this teaching a few years ago, to learn about the subject of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 now. And that from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So we said, from a new convert, that's from a child, actually, not natural infancy, not natural child. He's talking about spiritual growth, right? From a child, you have appreciated the Holy Scriptures. Of course, Paul is telling you how a man will grow spiritually. The word known there, you have known the Holy Scripture, is not Bible verse cramming. You have known is the word eido. E-I-D-O, it means to appreciate. I think we have already taught this here. To place value. You have known the Holy Scriptures, to place value on it, to appreciate it. So Paul says, Timothy, from a child, you have valued the Scriptures. Which we look at the word Holy Scriptures, Arios grammar. Right? Arios grammar. We said Scriptures is set of books, right? Arios will be selected, right? Almost the way you have church, and I use church to explain it. Alright, good. So we said, from a child you have known, you have appreciated these selected books. What does that tell you? It tells you that during the time of Timothy, there were other books. But Timothy did not face them. He took Genesis to Malachi, and he appreciated it. You know, you find Christians looking for one other book. You say, there's a missing book. There's one missing book. There's a reason why it's missing. there's a missing book. Why are you looking for it? The one that you have, the 39. We're talking about Genesis, Malachi, and the 39 that you have. Are you done reading them? Observe the people that look for missing books. They are the ones that don't read the Bible. When I was on campus, just you know him. I won't mention the name. You know, yeah, a very lovely friend of ours. He was reading one book. He said
is one of the missing books of Daniel.
Now you know what I'm talking about.
One of the missing books of Daniel. I said you will be missing soon. Because where the book went to, you will go there. Missing. The land of missing. Eventually, his head was clogged with a lot of nonsense. Started asking me questions. I said, I'm not going to send you to read book. The one that you are, 39, you are not done. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, you know, some people are, they end up depressed and, he said, the trumpet on the last day. He wants to ask me Bible trivia. Is it gold or brass? Is wooden? On Kiev? That's a stupid question. He says, you have known these books. And when you know them, when you appreciate them, what does it make you do? Look at it. It makes you wise unto what? Gold or brass. It makes you wise unto what? Salvation through faith. So, it means that when you read Genesis to Malachi, listen very well. This is flat basic. When I read Genesis to Malachi, I must not be looking for any other thing than information about salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Soteria, diapistio, and Christos Jesus. Don't worry. I just read it in Greek through. Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, it means, listen very well, that the writers, when they were writing it, did they have history of mankind in mind? Eh? Did they have, how the world was created in mind? Eh? What did they have in mind? The moment I know that, listen very well, it determines and it directs my Bible study. You know, you stop looking for the wife of Cain. Who is the wife of Cain? Is she owing you money? Why are you looking for the wife of Cain? I just want to know. Now, the writer, who is Moses, of Genesis to Deuteronomy, did not have it in mind to write to you about the wife of Cain. So imagine I'm writing a chemistry book, right? Which I thought I would write when I was in secondary school. I so much loved chemistry that I thought I would be a chemistry lecturer. How about that now for a start? If you give me for free lecturing job of chemistry, I'll tell you I don't want. Okay? Bimbola, why are you looking? You know? So, imagine writing a chemistry textbook, for instance. You are asking me, who is the president of Nigeria? See, from this your textbook now. I know you have written a lot of things about 2,000 pages. But may I know, which party won the election in 1999? What is the answer you give the person? Come on. What answer will you give the person? Are you listening? You really want to get the party? Alhamdulillah. Let me say it again. You wrote a chemistry textbook. Then someone carries your chemistry textbook and asks you, but what? Which party won the election in 1999? From this your textbook, what would you say? You ask the person, okay. Believer. Believer in Christ. What answer will you give the person, sister? It's not related. Who has a better answer? You feel you have a better... Oh, foolish Nigerian. I like that one. It's not related. You are high on paracetamol. Who did you like this? That is the same way when you carry the Bible and you are trying to prove the creation of the world from it. You sound that stupid. That's the same way when you carry the Bible and you are trying to find the wife of Cain. You look that stupid to Moses. He's telling you, oh foolish Nigerian, who is this one? He's telling you, can't you focus? Because, listen very well, Moses never intended to write to you about the creation of the world. He's a prophet, not an historian. He's a prophet, not an anthropologist. Paul just told you that when you take Genesis to Malachi, the Holy Scriptures, he says it's able to make you wise. That word is to put things together. You will now start seeing things clearly about salvation. So they are called prophets for a reason. They are prophets because they are going to tell you God's mind. They are called prophets because they are going to tell you God's purpose, which is salvation. Am I saying God did not create the world? Why would I say that? What I'm telling you is that the Bible is not the book for that one. It's a book that answers queries about salvation through faith in Christ. And that's why verse 16, he now says, all scripture, past graphe, all these writings is given by the inspiration of God to the prophets And it is profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16. The word profitable there means it is useful. I've seen people take this one and use it for seminars. See, the Bible, all scripture is profitable. That you should be profiting from scriptures. See, can you see how, let me keep that word. Let me walk in the spirit. Can you see how mischievous people can be? All scripture is profitable and you stop there. Ah, Mark, I see why you just stop there. All scripture is profitable. Did it say profitable or not? Profitable. So are you profiting? That. Why will you not collect first fruits? Bible says all scripture is profitable. So when you're not profiting, you're not working in the scriptures. Is it wrong doctrine? It is easier to teach. You don't have to do any research. You don't have to know any Greek word. You just have to stop somewhere. All scripture is profitable. But stop. Say, for doctrine, leave those ones. Paul knows what he's writing about those ones. But what we are concerned about today is that it's profitable. Say, it is useful. Of enelos in the Greek. That is, it's of advantage. The advantage of all these writings. It says all scripture is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. In what we explained last week. We said that what doctrine means, explanation. Teaching. We saw the usages last week, right? Where we look at doctrine and doctrines. Right? The doctrine of man. The commandment of man. We looked at all of that. So it says, all scripture is profitable for explanation. Not for quoting. It's good to know the Bible to quote it. Sometimes sometimes you are under the cosh and you cannot even bring out the Bible and then you really want to preach. You should be able to quote the scriptures. Even the devil can. So why won't you be able to do that? With much reading, you should be able to know things by heart, right? But that's not the usefulness of the Bible. You wake up in the morning and what's that? You just put, imagine just putting, I'm trying to look for one. By faith, Abel offered the more excellent sacrifice. What should I do with it? That's the question. The sacrifice. You and the sacrifice. What should I do with that information? You've said nothing. Imagine just putting lines in full of all your pleasant places. Just put that one on WhatsApp status. All your contacts. Lines will start falling on them. Nice, man. What should I do with the information? It says all scripture is profitable for quoting. Eh? It's profitable for what? Teaching. So when I undo Genesis, my first duty as a Christian is not to start quoting aimlessly. It's to look for the teaching. It's a teaching. It has an explanation to it. So it says it's probably for explanation. And I said, doctrine pros electio, right? Doctrine towards reproof. That it's there. For doctrine for reproof. The word for is the word pros that I'm saying. Which means towards. That is, the aim of the doctrine is so that it can bring reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is persuasion. Conviction. So, what does that tell you? Genesis to Malachi, primarily must be, what's the primary use? Yeah, primarily must be taught. When it is taught, what is it towards? Towards persuasion. So why did Moses write it? So that when the children of Israel are read it by their elders, when they are read it, they can now be persuaded in their hearts. Oh, there is a Christ to come. So the book is for teaching. The teaching will bring persuasion. The persuasion will bring correction. Correction is the word repentance. Something like that. To set things in order. To change your hearts. So they are not just books for story. Me, I like that. Yeah, my own favorite story is Goliath and David. Shut up. My own favorite story is Noah and the flood. You must explain. Observe the way Jesus taught from the Genesis to Malachi. We looked at it last week. Luke 24:27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Beginning at Moses. Moses is the person of the writing. That's beginning at Genesis, yeah? Or beginning at Exodus. I think Exodus is the beginning, right? I've told you that before. Because he wrote Genesis because there's an Exodus. There's a nation that went out of Egypt, so he now wrote Genesis to them. That makes sense. I'm not saying you go and now tear your Bible and now go and go meet after Exodus. So no, I'm just telling you that the reason for Genesis is Exodus. And the reason for Exodus is Genesis. We've explained that before. Right. That's not what you're not gonna be using to fumble. Which one came first, the Exodus or Genesis? That's a very relevant matter. Amen. That's not a... I put it to you. Are the reason for Exodus of God? Can you explain it? Hallelujah. Alright, so, beginning at Moses 24:27, that's where we are. He says, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. So Jesus did not quote. Jesus did not pick things here and there. No. He explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, it's about explanation. Say it's about explanation. You have to explain. You have to explain. So again, we said, so let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. That's where we are now. So it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is profitable. We said profitable is useful, is of advantage for what? Teaching. Teaching should bring, persuasion should bring, correction should bring, instruction, which is growth. Alright. That said, where did we stop last week then? So we said, can we now then call the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi in this case, can we call it the word of faith? Why? Because they are meant to inspire faith when it is taught. So when I teach Genesis to Malachi, the resultant effect should be faith in Christ. Right? The resultant effect should be faith in Christ. So we can call those books the word of faith. We said, what is taught in them? We know it's for teaching. But teaching what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ. We said, that's such a big word. Yeah? A very big, big phrase. Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we embark, like I said, a few years ago on this teaching to look at, we've looked at so far how a man is saved and what is he saved from, right? We've seen how everyone who believes in the gospel has eternal life, right? Right? We've seen how they offered sacrifices under the law, right? And how Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, right? He's the lamb, he's the priest, he's the blood, he's the message. The message is in our hearts, right? We've seen all of those over the years. In this particular series 3, we began to look at, we know that the gospel saves people. When you hear the gospel, you are saved, you have eternal life. We now began to look at, what of a person who never heard the gospel? So I never heard. How would I be judged? Nobody preached to me. And we looked at two sets of people. Of course, that's not an excuse today. I remember someone asking me, he said, what about someone who has never heard? And the question, the answer I gave the person was, what is the person's name? I'm just asking. What's the person's name? So that he can go and hear now. He can go to his house. This is 2022, come on. So, but the idea was, Asian Africa, Asian, you know, Asia, people who were not Jews by tradition, who never had the prophets. They didn't have Isaiah, they didn't have Jeremiah, they didn't have Moses. How would they be judged? And we've answered that one in the part A of this series, right? Now we are looking at the Jews who had them. They had the prophets, but they didn't see the Christ. And if you look at Genesis to Malachi, there's no place where you will see Jesus. You will not see the word Christ. So, what did they believe? Or, how were they saved? Intricate questions that needs answers. And it's the job of every Bible student. The moment you start shying away from questions, you will not grow. Growth is in much questions. Amen. So, last week we looked at Luke 24. Turn there. Again, I don't want to dwell on the things we have already said. Luke 24, where the disciples of Jesus, upon the resurrection, they were talking. And they were sad. Sad because of many things. Now, there's no Jesus again. Partly, there's no bread and fish again. Will you not be sad? Someone that used to give you 50k every day. When the FIRS come, you just let you go and open the mouth of fish and you pay your tax. If that kind of person is killed, you say you walk and you be sad. Right? Alright? Well, look at verse 17. Luke 24. You learn something? So, as they were talking, Jesus now questioned them. He said, what manner of communications are this that you have with one another as you walk and you are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering him said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? The person you are talking about. That means you don't come for meetings here often and you don't listen to tapes. Have you not known these things that have come to pass in these days? And he said unto him, and he said unto them, what things? And he said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and in word, before God and all the people. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he was the one that would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And then Jesus said, okay, I like the way you started. Mighty word and indeed. Okay. He was killed, though. Wicked people. Jesus said, okay. And today is the third day. That means, who is this one? That means he's died. He has died now. And he will, just as right now, they say, he will resurrect. Just say, he will what again? He has died now. Okay, he will what? Certain women, verse 22, of our company, made us astonished. That word astonished is a very powerful word. That is the reason why he called them fools. Why are you surprised? The astonishment is the foolishness. He said, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early in the sepulchre, when they found out his body. And then they came saying, yeah, they saw a vision of angels that he was alive, blah, 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 blah. And certain of us went with them to the sepulchre, and found it as the women have said, but him they saw not. Can we verse 25 to 26 together? All fools and slow of hearts. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Beginning at Moses, he explained to them in all the scriptures. So, you have thought, they did not say anything wrong now. Why did you just call them fools? So, you are foolish. Oh. They must have been looking, why, who is this one to call us foolish? Eventually, they found out. After much hacking, it's only Jesus that can hack like this. The Bible says, their hearts were open. Didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us? But let's sit down, we'll get there later. You know, he said, you are foolish. We began to look at that word fools, and we said, it's used for someone who does not apply his mind to what? To the scriptures. So I'm not thinking biblically. I'm not thinking scriptures. So he called them fools. All fools and slow of heart. To believe all that the prophet have what? Put that one in mind. No, last week I said the prophet did two things. They what? They spoke and they wrote. Because in verse 25, to believe all the prophet has spoken, in verse 27, he began to respond to them all what the prophets wrote. So, put that one in mind. They spoke and they wrote. Good. They're all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So we said, that means, listen very well to this one. Does that mean that Genesis to Malachi is sufficient for anyone to believe the Christ? Because Jesus is not telling them, can't you see my hand? Is this not the leg of someone that was nailed to the cross? No, he's not showing them anything. He's saying, if you just listen to the prophets, you have no doubt. Because their astonishment at his death is a proof of their doubt in his resurrection. If the death surprised you, then you don't believe the resurrection. Jesus saying, did the prophet not write to you that the Christ will die? So that means Genesis to Malachi, listen very well, contains information about the death of Christ. It contains sufficient information about the death and the resurrection of Christ. But how will people be saved? How will they be saved? So we now are looking at verse 21, very important. Luke 24, which is a very key word. We said, verse 19 rather. No? Which one did I ask us to put? Verse 21, yes. Where they said, we trusted. And I said, that word is a very key word. We trusted that he was the one that would have redeemed Israel. By saying redeemed Israel, is that the sota? Eh? That's the savior. Alright. The savior. When it's that salvation through faith. The savior is the one that would have redeemed Israel. We were trusting that he was the one. We were trusting. And I said, that shows the pattern, listen very well, of faith in the Old Testament. Don't forget, whenever I say Old Testament, there's nothing called Old Testament. Old Testament and New Testament is a postmodern appellation. There's nobody in the Bible that called it Old Testament. There's nobody in the entire Bible that called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. We only call it Old Testament and New Testament just to separate the dispensation of the books. In Genesis, you will find New Testament. And you find the Old Testament there too. In Exodus, you find New Testament. New Testament is a teaching, not set of books. Is that clear? Is that clear? It's a teaching to say New Testament. New Testament is what God is going to do in His Son. That's the New Testament. The Old Testament is what man is doing by himself to gain God's approval. Is that clear? Alright, so there's no book that is just condemned as a Old Testament. No. So Old and New Testament are explanations, not just set of books. Alright, so we said the word trusted, we trusted. We said that word shows the pattern of faith from Genesis to Malachi. It shows the pattern of faith. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Alright? We said the word elpizo, that word trusted. E-L-P-I-Z-O. E-L-P-I-Z-O. And we began to look at John 5, where we stopped last week. John chapter 5. We asked a question that we have not answered. So we said, let's put it together now. We said, the pattern of faith in the Old Testament is what? Hope. Right? We trusted. And we said, don't forget we have said that hope that is not seen, hope that is seen, is not the moment I see it. And that's why Jesus said, oh fools and slow of heart to believe. Because if you have to see it, and you have to be sending the women to the sepulcher, then you are not faithful. Then you have not believed. Because the moment your faith is inspired by what you see, it's not faith. That's what Jesus was saying. That when you see it, you don't call it hope again. That's not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. So, he reprimanded them for wanting to see before they believe. You know, it's the same thing with some Christians today. I remember I went to one village outreach, 2014, in your town, old on your town. And I prayed for a woman like that there. We already had power outreaches in some of the sub-towns. In fact, there was one that we had to enter a river, all of us. We had to go through a river. It was almost at the belly button, the depth of the river. So we had to walk through because there was no other way. And we had power outreaches everywhere. I remember there was an herbalist that put something on the ground for us and said, anyone that is born where should cross it. And one brother like that ran to the back. Ah. Bro, yeah, he's not the coordinator of this one. That. And myself and my friend, who is also a pastor now, he was the president. He was the one that just looked at me like this. Even the schools, everybody was just, really? You know, that's when your faith is faith. Hope that is seen. You have seen this one. The man was so furious because we were getting the son saved. You know, some Christians are like that too. You get their children saved and they are all walked up. So, he put something on the floor. And said, anyone they born where? That if you know, he said in Yoruba, you know, it's English. And said, they born you where? They born you where? We cross. The Yoruba, he said, etoba bibaba, tobi ya eliba bai. That is, if your father is the sibling of your mother, that is impossible. Said, cross this thing. And brethren were just speaking in tongues at the back, which is fine, amen. And I didn't even take any thought. Maybe if I had processed it, sincerely, if I had processed it, I would just have to speak in tongues a bit, you know. Generate more power. I didn't process it, I just went after him. And I said, hey, multi-cross. But nothing happened. I'm here now, of course. Amen. And he was shocked and everybody now rushed. But he needs someone to build the car. You know, when David killed Goliath, all the Israel soldiers are not coming. You are not chasing Philistines. Where were you for the last 3 weeks? You know? So, imagine after all of those experiences, and it came to a woman. She believed. She believed that God sent us and all of that. So it's time to pray for her. I think I've shared this story before. And we were praying. We see so much of God's power that we're expecting instantaneous healing everywhere. And nothing happened to her. Till I had to pray inside water. I had to pray inside water. I had like I was in incantation. Like Saru. You know? And she was looking at me saying, hey. That's when she was believing.
You know, you put some drama too. And I used to do drama a lot. Used to. I can act too. And God must have been looking at me like, what's that? The Holy Ghost is saying, what's that? I must have said, off gunners, inside the water.
Off gunners. Off gunners.
And I gave it to her and she drank it as well. But that's not faith. Amen. What you see before you believe makes you slow of heart to believe. So, he called them fools. He said, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. That is, were you not meant to just hope for the Christ? And to expect that he will be killed and he will rise the third day. But these guys were not like that. They didn't expect it. And that took us to Hebrews 11. Okay, we are in John 5. Sorry. Verse 45. Can we verse 45 and 46 together? Oh yeah, everybody. One, two, go. That I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you. Even Moses. For if you have believed Moses. Verse 47. How shall you believe my word? So Jesus said, there's one that accuses you, which you have explained the word accusing there. It's not like Moses has set out to accuse you. But we have seen that last week. I don't want to go through that again. There's one that accuses you, Moses, in whom you hope. And we ask the question. Then he said in verse 46, if you have believed Moses, believe Moses person or believe Moses writing. Before you can start church and call it Moses sent. Moses Church of Christ. If you have believed Moses' writings, you would have believed me. For Moses wrote of me. If you don't believe his writings, is that Luke 24? Huh? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Huh? So of us to believe what the prophet has spoken. Can we say so of us to believe what Moses have said? Huh? So, can we say Genesis to Deuteronomy, the book of Moses, is enough for faith? Is enough for faith? He says, but if you don't believe Moses' writings, how can you believe me? So we now ask that golden question. Moses, in whom you trust? And we said, did they trust Moses or not? Don't be forward. And don't tell me both. So I already removed that one from you. That's the next line of action. Pastor, I want to believe that they trusted Moses and did not trust him. Shut up. It's not both. Alright. Moses, in whom you trust. So we asked the question. We said, did they hope in Moses or in Moses' writings or not? Did they? This was the way you were looking last week. Now. After we asked the question. If you don't understand the question, let me see your hands. Very well, very well. No, you're not the only one. Listen. Okay, okay. Any other person? Okay, you understand. Okay, let me explain to the one who doesn't understand. So Jesus said, let's say to what we are saying. Take, for this season now, take Matthew to Revelation out of your head. When we are talking about scriptures, we are talking about Genesis to Malachi for this teaching. Eh? Jesus said that those books are enough for you to have faith. Right? We now even went more central. That remove Joshua to Malachi. That Genesis to Deuteronomy is enough for faith. Abi? If you have believed Moses' writing, you believe me. Right? For he wrote of me. But Jesus said in verse 45, I have not come to accuse you to the Father. There's one person that accuses you. We already explained the accusation. The accusation is that they did not believe. Right? So Moses will accuse them of unbelief. There's someone that accuses you. Moses. In whom you trust. So the question is, did they trust in Moses or not? I think it's actually not a very, it's not hard. It's straight like this question, the answer. Did they trust in Moses or not? Ha. Reverend Allah. Did they trust in Moses or not? They are still reviewing it. If you say they did not trust in Moses, what would be your defense? Because they did not believe Christ. Eh? Verse 46 is your defense. So sit down. What's your defense in verse 46? So they did not believe Moses. But, and if hope is the pattern of faith, you know we said hope is the pattern of faith in the Old Testament. Hebrews 11:1. Eh? Faith is substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So the way people have faith in the Old Testament is hope. How did they believe Christ? They hoped for the Christ. It's called the hope of our salvation. Right? So, if hope is the pattern of faith, that sounds strange because we have both hope and faith seated. Hope is the pattern of faith. Strange. Who is love
Ife. They say, ah, faith, hope, and love. Of this greatest, the greatest is what? Love. Die. Alright? And three other music team. I don't trust hope. Alright, so, but let's go on. So we said, hope is the pattern of faith. So how we are going to know that they believed Moses is if they had faith. So are you saying they did not have faith in Moses? Because if they did not have faith in Moses, Cleopas and the other guy will not be saying, for we trusted. For we trusted that he is the one that will redeem Israel. Moses is the one that told them that. Moses said, the Lord will raise someone among you, a brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear. He will deliver his people. So, Moses is the one that told them that there is a redeemer to come. So, did they trust in Moses? Prepare your mind for dialect prophecy. Do you have an answer now? Take your mind off that one I just said. This church? Alright. Did they believe Moses? I don't want to know your defense. Someone said they did not. Because if they had believed, if they had hoped in Moses, they would have believed in Moses. And they will have believed in Christ. Fair point. And I countered it by saying, but beyond that, after Jesus said this one, some folks told you that Moses told us. And we trusted that he's the one that will redeem Israel. So, there's a gray line. Anyone? No, sit down. The audience. Okay, I'm listening to you. Continue. You got it, don't worry. The audience. I have taught you many 155 billion times that there is no word that just exists on its own. Words find meaning in the context of their use and in the audience. For example, if I go to a primary school and I say, I'm talking about people who are not of age to vote. And I say, love your country. Make the right decisions. Then, a month before election, I go to someone's office. Right? Right? And I face all the staff members. And I say, love your country. Make the right decision. Do you not think that I'm talking about two different things? To the two of them. Did I use the same set of words? Huh? But for those ones, they understand. Imagine me waving and I said, love your country. I'm waving my PVC. Make the right decisions. Right? I am saying the same word, but context has changed. Like, I gave you an example from years ago. I go to my boss, and I serve tea, and I said, here's your cup of tea, sir. And my boss is making a call, and he said, sorry, how many ships are we expecting? And I said, that's your cup of tea, sir. Aha, you know, I will be promoted to a customer. You don't get that. You'll be promoted to a customer. You know? And I just use the same phrase. That's your cup of tea. That's your cup of tea. So words find meaning in the context. The folks in John 5 were not his disciples. They were people, don't forget, almost, this is after John's doubt. They were people who, listen very well, were doubting that Christ was the Messiah. And he now told them, he said, you don't believe me because you don't believe Moses. But the audience of Luke 24, they have believed in Moses. They know Moses. In fact, if you talk against Moses, they will talk against you. So are you asking that the audience has changed? Come on. So when I ask the question, did they believe in Moses? This one's in John 5. Eh? No. That's why I said I will not accuse you. Moses has already accused people like you. Is it making sense? So we'll answer our question last week. Bailed out by prophet. Alright? Maybe because we are talking about faith. The sensitivity is sharper. Funny thing, we never talk about Shola. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Only Samson, the man who missed God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Your name is Samson, I don't know. Beg them to remove it. Can you be Samson? Alright, so we said the pattern of faith in what we call the Old Testament is what? Hope. L-P-I-Z-O. E-L-P-I-Z-O. Interesting. So we said, the issue, why were they called fools in Luke 24? Because they ought to have exercised faith in his death, right? Come on, right? If his death was an amazement, then his resurrection would be doubtful. So the issue with them was faith. So we said, faith is not what is seen, but what is heard. All that the prophet have spoken. So faith is not what is seen, faith is what is heard. The minute you are focusing on what is seen, we can call you slow of heart. So, their faith in that Old Testament, Hebrews 11, let's turn there, so we can go to the next thing instead. Hebrews 11, are you learning something? My favorite phrase, my favorite quote, when you go to church, you must know that what? Eh? You went to church. Amen. Like you open Bible, you say, open Bible so much that you say, church mutimbo. Not all those you open one verse, you now take 18 points from one verse. You have to open the scriptures. Our experiences cannot be the truth. We must validate the truth. We must speak from this book. Is that clear? Anywhere you find yourself. Say, I love my Bible. Hebrews 11:1. So can we boldly say that everyone in the pre incarnation, what we call incarnation, God in the flesh, right? In the manger born. Everyone before that time, could they have been saved? Eh? Could they have been saved without seeing Jesus? Without seeing him die? Without seeing him resurrect? How would they be saved? They will hope in what? Eh? In the words of the prophets. That what? The suffering and the glory that follow. That Christ would come. Hebrews 11:1. Can we read it together very well and loud? Want to go? Now. No. Hebrews 11:1. That's how you're going to fail the exam. I remember one exam like that. And the lecturer said, do not answer question one. Now, the normal thing is that answer question one and any other two or any other thing. So the lecturer, he has been telling us, pre that exam, that this exam, focus on instruction. Nobody was even listening to that instruction. Focus on instruction. He was saying it actually. I read the instructions. I don't even know the answer to your question. So what else will I read? Instructions. Trial medical school. That place is hell. You read it. I read the instructions. I saw it. I felt it was strange. Do not ask that question one. I was answer question one and law. Yeah, I know answer it too. I don't even know it. I was even happy that he said don't answer it. That's how many years ago? That's 10 years ago. I don't know it. I was studying nursing then. I didn't finish as a nurse, but I was studying nursing. Are you guys proud now? Nurses? Are you okay? I don't have a certificate though. I jumped back from the day. So I said Hebrews 11:1. You don't go verse 2. Can we read again? Hebrews 11:1. Want to go? So the conundrum about this is that a lot of people think that he's talking about faith generally. No. Like I said earlier, words find meaning in the context of their usage. Does that make sense? If I say, like I gave you an example, that cup of tea, right? In the context of you, you find the meaning of the word. So there's no, even dictionaries don't tell you the meanings of words. Visionaries tell you the probable meaning. That's why you see a dictionary now use it in a sentence. That is, if you see it in a sentence like this, this is what it would mean. There's no word that has absolute meaning. A word has its meaning in the context of the words that surround it. Does that make sense? So when you say faith, people now think, you're talking about faith for getting something. Faith in the natural. Faith if I want God to bless me with the fruit of the womb. Not me. I don't have a womb. My has the fruit of the womb. That's some bread and fruit of the womb. Your stomach is like this. You have four fruit of the womb. Four. How you gonna brush that? That's like the opposite. But I'm fruitful in the name of Jesus. Alright, so we don't understand that prayer. And you think I'm talking about a child. What is all? So you think that faith is talking about, I want a child, I want a car, I want a job. No. Again, faith in the New Testament can be used for doctrine. You hear things like the word of faith that we preach. That word of faith that we preach is Old Testament. Yes or no? Now, it makes sense when you call it word of faith now, have you? The word of faith that we preach. Good. Faith can be used for Mark 11:23. If you have faith in your heart, you can say to this mountain, be moved and be cast in the sea. And it should be so, right? That is where one is faith for things. Good. Faith can be doctrine. Not just Old Testament. I mean, what you teach. Faith can be, what else again? Salvation. So again, faith has its usage. So when I see, now faith is the substance of things over. Listen to this one. Faith is some of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That is not the faith that I want a car, so I go and buy a car key or key holder. That's it. Because it's talking about things I hope for. The evidence of what I've not seen. That's nonsense. That's you are wasting your money. I get the fact that, oh, you want a child, so you go and buy baby clothes. Fine. What about your agenda? You say, oh no, I have faith for a male child. Pastor, male. I'll buy blue. Who told you you like blue? Amen. So you have to buy a crawler. You know, that's not even faith because you don't know if you just get quadruplet. One of my mischievous friends like that, last time, he told us he was admitted to OAU. And he was telling us matrix number. Later he now said it was faith. You are a liar. That's not faith. I told you last week, faith doesn't mean you say there's no mountain. Faith means you talk to the mountain and you say go. So that means I know that there's a mountain. Does that make sense? Go and buy Kyoda. You don't have car now. Are you buying Kyoda? Oh, for your colo. So the faith he's talking about here is the faith of the people in the Old Testament. That how did they believe Christ? Their faith was the substance. That makes sense? Of the thing they hope for. The word thing is what confused people. Because that word thing is not natural, it's not material things. It's the word pragma in the Greek. And you see where Greek words save us. And you hear people say a lot about, that pastor cannot preach without Greek. I've preached more than 100 teachings without a Greek, single Greek word before. But if you really want to explore the original meaning of things, because the Bible was not written in English, you have to go back to the language. Imagine saying, Ebin Pami, hunger is killing me. And then the translation just writes, hunger is killing me. The next thing you will do if you are not a good Bible student, you not think that killing. Look for everywhere killing is in the Bible. Now bring it to that one. Can you see that false doctrine is easy? You can't be using concordance to teach. You not look for everywhere faith is. Or what the faith of things. More faith for salvation. More Old Testament. More doctrine. Are you a DJ? You can't miss things. Faith. Anywhere faith shall. Faith. Calm down. The word thinks there's the word pragma. P-R-A-G-M-A. Pragma. It means events. Actions. Is it making sense? Actions. Events. See how distance the meanings are from things to events. And except you look at the original meaning of that word, you will never get it. So let's put it properly now. Now, faith is the substance of events they hoped for. The evidence of what they did not see. What was the event he was talking about? How Christ was going to die and resurrect from the dead. He now says, their faith, listen very well, was seen in that they hoped for that event. That's why in verse 2, through the entire chapter 11, he was now talking about Abel, Noah, Sarah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samuel. He did not mention Peter. And he did not mention Sally Sue. Let's bring postmodern into it. He mentioned people who were in that era. Does that make sense? To show you that he's talking about a particular generation that never saw Jesus. A particular generation that never saw him die, resurrect. You have not with your physical eyes, but it was evidently set for among you. Amen. They never envisaged that someone would die and be raised from the dead and would live forever. But their faith was in that they hoped for it. Does that make sense? So we saw that the pattern of faith in what we call the Old Testament is what? Hope. They hoped for it. So you see, the writer of the New Testament, they kept calling it the hope of our salvation. Paul will say in Romans 15:4 that when you read the Old Testament, it's for our learning, that we, so that we can see the patience and comfort of God in the scriptures, then we have, so it makes sense. So we can bring Romans 15:4, can we bring it to 2 Timothy 3:16? Eh? Come on. And can we now bring it to Luke 24, 25, 27? That is, when I read the entire Bible, it's for my learning. Is that doctrine? Eh? Come on. It's for my learning, and at the end of the day, I will resort to what? Salvation through faith in Christ. He calls it hope. Romans 15:4. Yeah, let's read Romans 15:4. Mapa Barigbe. Are you there? Want to go? We're reading a fourth time. Whatever things we are reading at four time, we are reading for our learning. That word learning is the same word you have in that 2 Timothy 3:16 as doctrine. They were reading for our explanation. Whatever things we are reading at four time, prographo, at four time, written at four time, actually together, written at four time. Grapho is written, pro is before. Does that make sense? Things that were written before now. P-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-O. Graph and O, just put O after graph. Prographo. Written aforetime. What books do you think he's talking about? Genesis to Malachi. Good. Whatever books were written aforetime were written for our learning, didaskalia, our explanation. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, I have explained it before, that we through the patience and comfort of God in the scriptures might have what? Hope. So that means when we explain, listen very well, when we explain Genesis to Malachi very well, what you will see is God's patience, you will see God's comfort, and everything will come to what? Hope, which we can call salvation through faith. Right? So they are, the pattern of their faith in Christ will be what? That hope. Hope in the patience and the comfort of God. Does that make sense? Hey, does that make sense? Alright. Go to Romans 4. I want to ensure that we wrap up this next week. Let's look at that hope a bit. Don't forget, let's start from where we stopped. I said, Genesis to Malachi, those books are written for what? Eh? Teaching what? Good. For teaching salvation through faith in Christ. Hold that one here, so that you don't eat it with it. So, does that mean that all the writers, they aim to write about salvation? Good. Good. Why did Moses tell us about Abraham? You know, if Moses did not write about Abraham, we would never know that Abraham existed. Existed before Moses, but Moses is the one that told us that there's an Abraham. Moses is the one that told us that there's Adam. Moses is the one that told us that there's Sarah. Moses is the one that told us that there's Noah. Right? Abi? Was it not Moses that was born years later, that Miriam had to take care of? Abi? But before that time, there was an Abraham. There was a Noah. There was a Jacob. There was a Joseph. Moses is the one that told us about these people. Why? Do you think that Israelites don't know about these people? And we taught this some years ago, right? And I told you that if he is not the eldest in Israel, then he's not writing to history. If he's not the eldest, he's not writing history. Don't forget we said he's a prophet. That means he's writing about what? God's plan, salvation through faith. So why did he bring Abraham back to their memory? He's going to write to them. They knew Abraham very well. But he's going to write to them what they did not know about Abraham. If I bring back a book and I'm trying to write about Nnamdi Azikiwe, I did not meet him. Right? Or Yaradua, I met Yaradua now. Okay, for this. Okay. I don't know if you know Yaradua, President Mahmoud, Umar Yaradua. You know him very well. I don't know if you know about the First Lady, Stella Obasanjo. Let me see the hands very well. You can recognize her. Let me see your hands. Exactly. I'm expecting the hands to drop. Let me see you can recognize her. Very well. Good. Drop your hands. That's it. I don't know how. Now, I may have heard of the name before Stella Obasanjo, but you cannot recognize her. You were probably heard of the surgery, and that's all. Now, since you know about her, then I'm now writing a book. Do you think I'm writing a book to tell you about her again? What do you think will be the essence of my book? to inform you what you don't know about her. Does that make sense? So, Israel know Abraham. Everybody in Israel knows Abraham. That's their father. Even in the time of Jesus, they were still quoting. Abraham our father. Are you older than Abraham our father? Look at many years. And they are still saying, Abraham is our father. Then Moses is now writing to them about Abraham again. There must be something they missed out on. Let's see it. So Romans 4. Are you free? For example, they know David. But in verse 6, he now says, even as David also describes the blessedness of a man, unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Comment is blessed on the circumcision only. So again, he now brought David and said, you see, this David that you don't know, that David actually said that the blessing of God is that he forgives sins. That's all about Abraham's blessing. He now says, chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he has everything to glory, but not before God. But what's here the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for, that's Genesis 15, verse 6. So what is he saying? Listen very well. They know Abraham, but Moses is now throwing into the fray. He says, what you don't know Abraham is that Abraham believed God. Exactly the opposite of what you are not doing now. Abraham believed God. Then he just said, eh? When? Is it making sense? So, they know him, but they don't know about his faith. They don't know about his allegiance to God. Abraham believed God. He said, eh? When? How? So, let's go on. So, in verse 10 to 12, he now told them that, listen very well. When Abraham was called righteous by God in Genesis 15, was he circumcised or not circumcised? Because listen very well. Israel was trying to say, think that because they are getting circumcised, they are already righteous. Moses is saying, the real circumcision is in your heart. That you will take away the natural flesh of stubbornness, of unbelief, and you open yourself up to God. That is not about removing the foreskin of your male organ. That is about putting your heart to God. They said, are you sure? Then I started telling them that, okay, Abraham believed God. He was called righteous. Was he called righteous when he was circumcised or when he was uncircumcised? He was uncircumcised then. He was circumcised in Genesis 22. He was called righteous in Genesis 15. He said, so what are you now trying to say? I'm just saying that the blessing of God that forgives sins is not by circumcision or uncircumcision. Then he progresses in verse 13. Are you with me? For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect. We'll look at that word promise next week. Because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but also to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So, Paul is establishing a credence now, listen very well, that Abraham is a man of faith. By saying Abraham is a man of faith, what is the pattern? He'll be a man of, say it now, hope. Hope in what? Not in salvation through faith. Hope in what? No, you can say it many words. Eh? In the events to happen, hope in the promise. Right? Like he said here now, Abby. Hope in what again? In salvation through faith, in Christ, which is to come. Hope in what again? In the death and the resurrection of Christ, the suffering and the glory. He just gave it another. Alright, good. So, that means Abraham hoped in God. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed. Even God, who quickens the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. You see, these two verses we just read, 17 and 18, we can teach it for a year. Paul did a very, very beautiful writing there. Now, listen very well. Listen up. We're getting there. Did Israel know that Abraham had to wait for Isaac? Huh? Everybody knows that one. So why is he writing this? Look at verse 17. He says, he believed in God, who quickens the dead, and called things that be not as though they were. Sorry, who died? Abraham or Sarah? None. But Paul is saying, God raised the dead. That Abraham believed God that quickens the dead. So, what is he doing? He's telling us that Abraham believed in what? The resurrection of Christ. Does that make sense? Without having to mention anything. Because he's trying to assume someone who nobody died. Talk of being raised. Did Abraham believe? Did he believe God that God will raise the dead? How did he show it? How did Abraham show it himself? Isaac. He took Isaac and he told his servant, myself and my son are going to pay reverence to God. We will come back to you. Then he took Isaac, put him on the platter, and he said, I want to sacrifice my son, my only son, even though he had Ishmael. But he called Isaac his only son. Then, when Isaac said, when he was coming, and I said, father, pops, I like this trip, actually, this vacation and all. I'm all for family bonding, and all. I see it very well. I see the wood. I carry the wood. I see the wool for the offering. Pops, who is the meat? Who is the meat? Where is the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? He says, the Lord will provide himself the sacrifice. He's not saying the Lord will bring sacrifice. So he's saying the Lord himself, the Lord will provide himself. He will serve himself as a sacrifice. And Isaac did not say anything. Paul brings that back years after and says, he believed that God can raise the dead. Does that make sense? So, are you seeing how their faith was in the hope of events? And by saying events, that would be the death and the resurrection of Christ. Does that make sense? Whew. Good. Same with Abel. By faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did Abel bring? Abel brought a lamb. Don't forget, whatever his faith was not. If you see it, is it still faith? Good. But Abel brought a lamb to show what will happen to Christ. John will eventually now say, this is the Lamb of God. He is bringing Genesis 4 by John. That's some decades, that's some thousands of years. But it just shows you that these folks that we call in the Old Testament, they had faith that, see, Christ was going to come. He was going to die. He's going to be resurrected. But they did not see it. They can only hope. Hallelujah. Is your own faith today, is it hope? Eh? Why? The event has happened. Your faith is faith. You have to just believe. That will take us to that promise. Because you need to now look at the promise of the prophets. You know, the promise of God, yes, amen. We'll look at all of that next week. But let's go on. So, look at verse 18. So, again, God who quickens the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. Who called those things that be not as though they were? God or Abraham? I've told this before. Who called the things that be not as though they were? God or Abraham? I'll lock you up. Who called it? I've taught it before. If I taught it in a, you cannot watch this or something like that. Who called the things that be not as though they were? Abraham is the one. Because he believed in God that quickens the dead, the things that he's not seen, he's now saying as though it is. God will provide himself. He has not seen it. He called the things that be not as though they have happened. That is hope. So hope is, he called the things that be not as though they were. You can call that faith, right? And will you be right? Will you be right if you call it faith? But was it hope too? Because hope will now be the pattern of your faith. Thank you. In verse 18 now says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations? Sorry, who will become the father of many nations? Abraham or the seed of Abraham? Eh? We've taught this before. Come on. Who will become the father of many nations? Abraham or the seed of Abraham? Oh, Abraham K. How many nations? How many nations will he become the father of? He was even the father of Egypt. Yeah, he went to collect food. For you to know, it was not Abraham. When Abraham died, God gave the same promise to Isaac. You become the father of many nations in your seed. When Isaac died, he told the same thing to Jacob. Oga, Abraham is the father of us all. You and who? Who is your father? Let me just cut out things. Abraham's blessings are mine. And in your head, you are thinking about cattle. Abraham, I am blessing that money. Is Abraham that he was blessing the money? Only kokuko. I'm just kidding, no. Amen. Abraham blessed the house, right? In Christ. What is Abraham blessing? Salvation through faith. Thank you. Forgiveness of sin. Some Christians don't want to hear this. Why is Abraham blessed like that? Our God! My God! My God provide my needs. Did I agree with you? I'm just telling that Abraham's blessings was not cattle. The Abraham blessing that you are calling cattle, you know he got it by cookery. He lied. He said, this one is not my wife now, it's my sister. They now gave him half of the kingdom. And you are calling that your own blessing. You are a thief. That means you're also ready to lie. So I said, Pastor, don't spoil Abraham my eyes. See, I've told you before. The weakness of all the prophets is the fabric of the grace of God. Every prophet wrote about their own weakness. So that you can know that only Jesus is perfect. Is that clear? So you must expose their weakness. It's part of gospel. The exposure of the weakness of Abraham and David is part of the gospel. Abraham, the one that slept with his with Agai. Abi, it's not the person you're talking about. Abi, I know another Abraham that slept with his house, and God said, "What have you done? What is it that you have done? Don't worry, I will be an help to you." Abi, it's not Abraham. He lied twice. So, if you say the first one was a mistake, he has said, "God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me." If you say he has done that one, he did it again. For you to know that. Baba, they gather wealth. Somehow. Amen. That cannot be the blessing you are inheriting. Abraham's blessing is that God imputed righteousness to him. Amen. By faith. That's the same thing that we have today. Hallelujah. So I'm blessed. So, who against hope? Romans 4:18. I want to start closing now. Who against hope believed in hope? That he might be the father of nations, of many nations. Again, who will be the father of many nations? So shall your seed be. Does that make sense? So shall your seed be. Sorry, who is the seed? Eh? Matthew 1:1. We are there on Thursday. Matthew 1:1. The book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the seed of Abraham. Does that make sense? So he's the son of Abraham. So we said the pattern of their faith is what? This is not Bible school teaching. No. It's a Christian teaching. Church. Hallelujah. So the pattern of their faith is hope. Who against hope believed in hope, that I become the father of many nations, according that he has spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So again, when God told him that, you know what, the Christ will come in your lineage. At 99. No child. And you're telling me the Christ will come to my knowledge. He now, what he did was, he reconciled his hope and his reality and brought it together. That if Christ can be raised from the dead, then Sarah's womb is not dead. Does that make sense? So he brought, is that what you call, faith in his faithfulness? Alright? That's what you call the fruit of faith. For example, I'll show you that next week. When you say the promise of God, that is Christ, right? All the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. That is Christ, right? But you know, Peter now called, he said in Acts 2:39, this promise is for you and your children. And as many as our Lord God shall call, right? And he wasn't talking about Christ. He was talking about tongues and the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what is he doing? He's saying that the promise that he's talking about is a fruit of the promise. That is, this gift of the Holy Ghost is a fruit of the real promise, Christ. That makes sense? We'll look at that last week. Same thing Jesus did in Luke 24:49. When I said, you tarry for the promise of the Father. When we're talking about the Spirit, right? At Jerusalem. We're talking about the Spirit. Of course, the promise of the Father is not the Spirit. The promise of the Father is Christ. But the Spirit is a fruit of that promise. So you can call it the promise too. But it's a fruit of the promise. Because there has to be just the one promise. The moment that you are double promises, then doubt is not possible. The moment you have more than one promise, doubt is not possible. Doubt is only possible because the promise is unified. We'll see that much more next week. Or Daniel prophet. Alright, let's tidy up. Psalm 39, verse
7.
Are you there? Psalm 39. Verse 6 says, surely every man walks in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches, and none knows who shall gather them. And knows not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what I wait for, my hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions, and make me not the reproach of the foolish. Deliver me from all my transgressions. My hope is in you. Again, the forgiveness of sin. Are you listening? The forgiveness of sin is the hope of the prophets. So when you see their hope is in that Christ will come one day and their sins will be forgiven. Their hope is that Christ will come and save them. Don't forget, salvation through faith. Psalm 71. Verse 4. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the righteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Amen. You are my hope. Again, over and over again, from Genesis. Huh? Christ has been the hope of the prophets. The hope of your salvation. He has been the hope. Peter puts it in 1 Peter 1, verse 1, verse 3 actually. Peter says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, actually living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. So there is hope. I love that song. Is it your song now? There is hope in the promise of the cross. Amen. There is hope in the promise of the cross. So again, how did they believe? Eh? In the hope of events that will happen. Abel believed and he made a sacrifice. Noah believed and he made an ark. Made an ark. And he said, you know what about this ark? Everyone that comes to it is saved. Everyone that is not there is damned. Is that not John 3:16? Again, they are just showing their hope. And that was their faith. David will now re-echo the same thing. That the name of the Lord is that strong tower. The righteous will run into it. And they are saved. That is putting Noah's ark side by side. I told you, the entire Bible is a progressive revelation, right? So he was clearer. He says, that ark is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So again, their faith was in that they hope for an event. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Amen. What they've not seen. They've not touched. They only heard it. So we said faith will be what is heard. In what is heard, not what is seen. That makes sense? That makes sense? So can people who did not see Christ believe? Why? Because faith will be in what is? Eh? And not? Don't forget Romans 10. How can they believe if they have not heard? Again, so faith is in what is heard, not in what is seen. Let me read lastly, Hebrews 6. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we are growing in God's word. And we are better teachers of the same. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. Again, that is seen in the church of Christ today. Amen. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whither the foreigner is for us entered, Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. What is he saying? The hope that we have as the anchor of our soul, we see it in Christ. Amen. Who was after the order of Melchizedek? God swore to Abraham that I will give you hope. I will give you something to hold on to. He said, God fulfilled his promise.
Amen. He's saying that the writer of Hebrews, because he has seen it. He has said, God has fulfilled his promise. Hallelujah. We see it in Christ. He's the anchor of our soul. Hallelujah. So we have hope. Do we? What's our own hope? In the resurrection again, right? Of our mortal bodies. So salvation is always seen in hope. Again, that one is not seen as what God will do. It is seen as what God has done that will be revealed. It's called a manifestation. An open up. An unveiling. It's not what God is going to do. It's what we are going to discover. Hallelujah. But for the prophets, from Genesis to Malachi, their faith in Christ was seen in hope. What about those who never had the prophets? Right? Those who never had, for example, Noah had the word of God, for example. He had it from Lamech, his father. You can possibly say Abel was taught by Adam. But what about an African great parent who never heard the gospel? We taught that already. But that is going to take you some time to listen to. The greater light, the lesser light. How God confirms his presence in everything that is seen in the world. Hallelujah. So that every man is without an excuse. You learn something today?